the side of the car, across the front of it, and jump right off the side of the bridge in front of you.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I am Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad you're here. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us on the road or on the show, from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section. You can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us if you had that crazy and wild story you want to share with us on the show and just chop it up in general conversation. We have fun talking to people.
Yes, right? We do. Let's do it.
So also, we want to let you guys know, remind you that we do have Prepare with HLL.com. The world's crazy bananas. You never know what society's going to do. You never know what the economy is going to do. And you never know what the people in front of you on the road are going to do. And in those cases, you might want to have some emergency food for your supply. And that's where you can go to get it. Prepare with HLL.com. It lasts up to 25 years on the shelf. And if you get the 4-week supply, we'll knock $70 off for you right there on the spot. So go to preparewithhll.com and get your emergency food today. Now, we also have that voicemail line, 515-585-MERK, M-E-R-K, 515-585-6375. There, you can leave a voicemail. We don't care what the crazy experience is, but if you don't want to be on the show, if it's just a short little story, go ahead and give us a call on the voicemail line and share it with us. But I'm telling you right now, if it's more than 15 minutes, which is the limit for that voicemail line, don't call back. Don't even bother calling. Shoot me that email and get on the show because we want to talk to you, my friend. Right, Dad?
Yes, we do. We want to talk to you.
Absolutely. So this week we have Zach coming on the show, Dad. What are we talking to him about?
Today we're talking to Zach, and he is a fresh driver, new guy. We're going to get some of his background story, see what he's all about, and what it was like getting into the trucking industry. He's really fresh, really new. I mean, like,
really,
he's still wiping off the newborn stuff.
Yeah, that's what he said,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a gross thought. He is very, very fresh. Yeah. I mean, when we recorded this interview, he was a week into driving by himself on the road.
Exactly.
But it was a good conversation. It was really nice to actually hear how he attributed this show as to helping, not the reason, but helping him make that decision to go into driving truck. It was really encouraging to hear because as podcasters, we kind of get caught up in the routine of things, and it's nice to be reminded that some of the things that we say actually impact people's lives, you know?
It's good to hear.
Absolutely. So let's get to Zach right now. All right, today we got Zach on the show. Zach, how you doing, man?
I am great. How are you?
Doing good. Dad, say hi.
Hi, Zach. He does it to me all the time. Every time he asks somebody else how they're doing. And then says, "Dad, say hi." Hey, old man, just say hi, old man. Can you handle that, old man?
It's becoming a routine.
Yes, it is.
It's okay. Just wave at the mic.
Yeah,
we'll understand. Just wave.
And the funny thing is, like, technically speaking, this is my dad's show. And
That's right. Yeah. You would have never done this if your dad didn't agree to come on.
Yeah, no, there's no way. I got enough on my plate and stuff, and I wasn't gonna I wasn't about to bring on this type of show without a co-host because it's really actually really helpful, and I'm sure he can agree where bouncing off of somebody in studio with this kind of show is very helpful. And I don't think I would have been interested in doing it by myself, to be honest with you, because I already do it one time with my other show, and people think it's easy. It's not that easy sometimes to rock out a conversation and stuff with nobody that you're actually looking at in person, you know? Because like right now I'm talking to Zach, but I'm looking at my dad. So, but
well, he gives a different perspective too, and that always helps, especially to trying to generate, you know, questions and get content. So I can definitely understand. I definitely appreciate that.
And like when I start choking on my water and stuff, he can keep it going.
Somebody can sit here and laugh.
Oh, that was so great.
That was hilarious.
It was so, you could feel the awkward silence from your interviewer. Yeah. He's like, what's going on? Like, did I do something bad? Are you making fun of me?
No, it's funny too.
And both of you are just dying.
Yeah.
Just cracking up laughing. And it's just great.
Yeah, listen, this is a show that's unscripted for sure. So.
Yeah, it's unscripted, right?
So, Zach, you're not very much of a longtime veteran trucker and stuff. And actually, you just told us before we hit record that our show had a role a little bit of getting you into trucking. So I know in the email you mentioned about hitting rock bottom, and that's why you got into trucking. So tell us this story, brother.
Okay, yeah, sure. I'm not even like new. I'm still dripping from afterbirth new, if you want to put it in a disgusting kind of way. Yeah, I just finished Saturday, which was yesterday, my first full 7-day week on the road.
Wow.
By myself, without a trainer. So that's just how new I am. I'm not necessarily completely new to trucking in general. I did some Class B work years ago for Dunbar. We can get into that later with those stories. But that kind of got the bug rolling for trucking with the B license. But what really got the truck rolling and really got everything rolling for me when it comes to regard to getting in my Class A and getting the trucking rolling was coming to terms with the fact that I am an alcoholic, and that one of the reasons why I went down that path is because of my career choice. Just a quick background. I have 2 degrees, one in criminal justice, one in criminal investigation. And so I spent some time in college, and I spent 11 years after college trying to get into that career field. Bouncing back and forth, trying to figure out different things that I wanted to do. I got really excited about corrections, but where I live in, you know, I live in Connecticut, which is horrible. I'm really planning on moving out of there, but I tried to get in corrections there, and that just did not happen whatsoever, which put a sour taste in my mouth with them. I bounced back and forth a lot about becoming a police officer. And honestly, it took rehab and being sober for over a year now to finally realize that that wasn't a path for me, because it wasn't something I was going to love. You know, I always kind of knew it in the back of my head that if you wanted to be a cop, it was one of those jobs where you needed to love it to be it.
Yeah,
it couldn't just be a job.
Yeah, that's definitely.
And for me, being a cop would have been just a job. It wouldn't have been a career, because that was just a stepping stone to getting into what I really wanted to do, which was crime scene investigation. So when I graduated when I started college, crime scene investigation was huge. Departments everywhere across the nation had a heck of a lot of money, and they were using people that were non-sworn officers. Fast forward 4 years, a year into our most recent depression, after 2008, when I graduated in 2009, there's no money. Departments don't use non-sworn officers anymore. Pretty much, actually, police officers are multitasking to do everything. And my prospects of getting into that career were very low, especially without being an officer and having at least 5 to 10 years worth of experience.
Wow. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's very tough. And you know, and at the time I was very heavy. I'm still kind of heavy. I was not in shape. So I, you know, I had the physical aspect too that I had to get past. But I'm kind of one of those people that I've always been really heavy. And what I'm trying to get at is that I don't care what other people think about me. Mm-hmm. I care more. I more center on my intelligence and my ability to, you know, to think problems through and stuff like that. And that's what kind of drew me towards crime scene investigation. But with everything that happened, I couldn't get into that.
Gotcha.
So not trying to do too much backstory, bore everybody to death.
No, it's interesting.
But, yeah, it is interesting because there's things about those aspects of jobs and life that you don't realize because you wonder, well, how does somebody get into something like that? Somebody get into forensics or into crime scene investigation? And just being a truck driver, I have no idea. So it's kind of interesting.
And I would pick you back off that, man. And just before you keep going, I would say, you mentioned about law enforcement not being a passion of a career, but more of just a job. And I would have found myself in the same situation when I was working in the parking authority in Reading and going to the courthouse all the time to mm-hmm. fight these tickets. You get to know the police officers, you get to know the marshals and all that stuff. And those guys there, I was talking to about going into law enforcement and go through the academy in Reading. And they were like, yeah, man, we, you know, just get to know these guys. And they just getting to know me and stuff, they suggested that I long term try to go into the U.S. Marshal Service. They thought I'd be good at that. And it wasn't something that I was, I guess, passionate about, but because other people suggested and they thought that I'd be good at it, I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll do that, you know? Right. And I probably would have been in a similar boat of a job where it was just a job.
You're when just doing a job.
And doing something like that, you want to be more passionate about it, you know?
Yeah. And you need to be more passionate about it, because if you're not passionate about it, you'll become so jaded so fast.
Yeah.
It'll probably ruin your career.
And make bad judgment decisions on the job, which could really hurt you and other people.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, hurt other people, could hurt you, could do both. You know, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of that. But a lot of between a long-term relationship ending and then the career pressure, trying to figure out what I'm going to do for the rest of my life, jumping through hoops and just getting stuck in dead-end jobs, put a lot of pressure that I really didn't realize and personally see. I felt, but I didn't, you know, it didn't click. It didn't, it was, I'm like, oh, well, this is why I'm feeling depressed. And what ended up happening was, unfortunately, I eventually developed into an alcoholic. And I say eventually, it was very, very slow. I've always been kind of a heavy drinker, even before college, all the way through college. You know, I could drink, but it wasn't something that would control me. It wasn't until maybe about 2 or 3 years before this happened that the drinking started getting progressively more. It was taking up more of my time, more of my day, until eventually it was all I wanted to do. And again, I didn't realize. I didn't know. I had convinced myself that, well, I can handle addiction. And this isn't a problem. And what ended up happening was I ended up going on a bender. And I got so depressed that I was ready to kill myself. I mean, to the point I had the gun and the bullet right there, right in front of me, with a bottle of wine sitting right next to it. So thankfully I got help. I got stopped. I spent some time in detox and getting sober, and I've been sober ever since. And that was October of 2019.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Dude, that's freaking awesome. And I can kind of, I feel where you're coming from, man. I have a similar thing where, and I don't know if I said this on the shows before, but I know I've told my dad this and he can probably confirm it. Like, I have a very addictive personality and I get addicted to things very fast. And I found myself now, I as a truck driver, I found myself drinking more than I should be. I'd come home every day after work and I'd be drinking. And I just kind of had this like rule in my head. Well, you shouldn't have alcohol in your system 10 hours before you punch the clock the next day. So I had this like clock in my head, and it was a slow progress for me too, man. Like I would be drinking, and it got to the point where I was looking forward to that being in the middle of my day. I'm like, I can't wait to get home and get a drink because this day sucks. And you start using the drinking as a crutch for your crappy day. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point where I forget who it was. I think it was maybe one of the guys at work. Kind of just said something casually because I guess I was drinking. I was talking about drinking all the time. And one of the guys at work said, you got to be careful with that, man. You know, you don't want to get in trouble. It was just something simple. And it kind of hit me in the head. And I was just like, I wonder if this is unusual, you know? And not that I was an alcoholic. I don't think I was an alcoholic because I never had to go to rehab or anything. I literally went home, and my wife would always say things to me. But sometimes, depending on who's saying certain things to you, you just brush it off. And when it comes to, you know, that stuff, I was like, ah, Linz, she's just being Linz. And I remember I went home and I probably finished what I had in my fridge, but waste not, want not. But I stopped buying alcohol and put it in stocking my fridge. And I just wanted to prove to myself that I didn't have a problem. And I stopped drinking for months. And every once in a while, I'll have a drink and stuff, but I don't typically keep it in my house anymore because I kind of think that can lead to a slippery fall for me. And so sure. I just, like, I'm the kind of person, like, literally, if I have nothing to do one day, I'll wake up in the morning and crack one open, and I don't care. It's a drink, you know? Right. And so I just don't really... I set those boundaries for myself. So I kind of understand where you're coming from, man, where the slow, slippery slope can begin.
Yeah. And well, I mean, to kind of go off what you were saying a little bit too, you were saying that you have an addictive personality. I was the opposite. I thought I didn't have an addictive personality, and I thought I had complete control over that. And that bravado, that, you know, that, I don't want to say cynicism, but that, confidence in supposedly my ability to control myself really led me down this very, you know, very bad road.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately it took that big event, which for some reason in my life, and, you know, every major change that happens takes a big event in my life to make it happen, but it did. So that's, you know, and, you know, and that's where it just came down to it. It's like, dude, you have a very addictive personality and you need to, you know, keep that mindful and you need to keep it in check.
Yeah. That's, well, I'm glad that you got everything back on the rails, man. And so that you got clean in 2019. And so you've been, what, over a year sober?
Yeah, over a year.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's great. Well, yep. So
I'm proud of myself. I'm happy it happened.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it takes a lot to come to the point where you admit it and then, you know, to understand that, hey, I need to do something about this. And when you spent a year, more than a year, that things are sober and looking up and moving in the right direction, that is something that you should be proud of. And that's something that's worth a congratulatory. Hey, good job. You know, that's fantastic.
The amount of people who in this world who have alcohol issues is probably uncountable.
Right.
And the fact is, most of those people die alcoholics. They don't get the help they need, or they go back and forth and stuff. So, and you know that. I mean, you know that. You've been through rehab. You understand the nature of the beast. I guarantee you, they told you that you're an alcoholic for the rest of your life. You need to fight this battle for the rest of your life. You're not. You can't just let up and just say, "Oh, I'll be okay." You know, it's a constant battle. And there's a lot of people out there that battle this fight, and they don't have the support or whatever, and they lose to it. And so, dude, you should be proud of yourself because you overcame something that so many people struggle with, and not a lot of people will get a grip on it.
Yeah. Well, a little perspective. When I went to rehab, there was probably about, I would say probably about 150 people on the floor unit that I was on. Most of those people were there for alcohol related stuff. And every single one of those persons was a repeat. Mm. So they had been there at least twice, if not more. Mm. I was the only person there who was the first time.
And last time, baby. And last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And last time.
Yeah.
So, you know, that little perspective there for anybody that doesn't think they have a problem or doesn't think that this is an issue or it can be an issue. It trust me, it very, very, very sneakily, but very deeply will get you.
Yeah, it invades. It really will invade your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it really, really does. You know, so that's that. Unless you guys got something else to say with that, I can move on.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Yep, move on. Yep, that sounds good.
So I get sober and, I'm talking to my therapy team, stuff like that. They bring up the whole job thing and I start going through trying to figure out what I want to do for a career. Cause I accepted myself, my career choice and what I'm doing for the rest for a career for the rest of my life is a very important thing to me. And I need to make a decision on this now and get rolling on it. I've always been pulled to medical stuff. And I knew that I would do good in that field, but I'm glad that I had this clarity because I said to myself, it's like, I'm really good at doing this, but I have a problem with treating people who don't want the help. So I'm kind of one of those people where I will absolutely help you. I will give you I'll give you my pants. Okay. Not even just my shirt. I'll even give you my pants. But, but you have to deserve it and you have to earn it. And if you don't, I won't do that. So, it kind of made me realize that maybe the medical field really wasn't, a good place for me. That and it was going to be incredibly expensive and take an awfully long amount of time to get to where I wanted to be. So I started looking at other things. I had researched getting a CDLA beforehand, before all of this, even way before then, even before I had my Class B. And that kind of brought that back. That brought that memories back. And it's like how exciting it was and how, it seemed like a really good thing to do. And I started looking into it again. I found a bunch of YouTube videos. And that's actually kind of where I found, where I eventually found your podcast as well. And then just listening to a lot of the stories and the comments and how guys were talking and just the reality of life. But the thing that got me was, I don't know if it was your guys' podcast or maybe another podcast or one of the YouTube. There's just literally so many. They all kind of meld. Not to say that you guys aren't great. You guys are.
No, we understand what you're saying.
We know we're great. It's okay.
Shameless plug.
There you go. You did that right.
But one of the guys on there, or I heard it somewhere, they're all saying, out of everything, the one thing that I loved the most was just the adventure. And he was like, and I have an adventurous spirit. And, and I really like to just, when I go out and do things or I travel or I'm out, I like to see places I've never seen before. I don't have an issue going back to places I've seen before, but I try to pay attention to different things. So I pick stuff, different things up. But he was right. And that really clicked into me because the day that I decided to get my CDLA and to get into trucking was I actually came back from a hike and I was listening to a podcast. And then this particular hike, I had gone to a completely new area and I had that, it's like, I really enjoyed it. And I listened to that and I'm like, holy crap, that's me. Like, I love going off, seeing new places, exploring and doing all this stuff. And then, and I'm like, and I can do this, and get paid and, and drive these, these semi trucks that I saw as a kid and would love, making the trucker, blare his horn and scare the crap out of my parents. It was freaking awesome.
Yeah.
and it really got me fired up. But of course I also knew that sometimes I tend to get really excited about something and then it'll just kind of fall to pieces. And I remembered that from the first time I tried to get my A, because I got really excited to get it, but then I went to really the only school, private school that was worth going to in my area. I won't say their name or anything like that. They wouldn't take me because of finances, because of loans that I had from college. Crap. Well, yeah, crap. So that put, that ended that reign, that ended that attempt. But now I went back and I'm like, well, let's see if this will work out again, or, you know, then maybe I can dig into it some more. If it doesn't, I can, you know, figure something out and go from there. And they accepted me. So I was able to get the finances and everything, and I was able to go to school, and I'm like, all right, I'm like, well, you know, financially they'll take me. I'm all, you know, and then that's when I, you know, kind of had that sit down Zen moment where you're like, all right, is this something I really want to do? And I don't specifically remember which episode, but I do remember it was your guys' podcast that you helped me, that helped me that night. I listened to one of the episodes and it just clicked. And it's like, you know what? This is what I want to do. This is what I want to experience. And I want to be out there, and I want to, you know, and I want to do this. And I know it's going to be good for me, because I'm going to get out of this environment. I'm going to get out of these places and out of this environment that put me into this, you know, dark hole that I was in before. So,
you know,
that was rock bottom, and then finding my way to trucking.
That I find it very encouraging to hear you say the things that you said. And it's honestly one of the biggest things that keep me moving when it comes to podcasting, is just knowing that the smallest thing that I say, or, you know, the old man says, like, could possibly have a positive impact in somebody's life like that. Right. And it really means a lot to me that you shared that. And I agree with you with your motivations on the whole thing and the adventure. I do P&D, local LTL, and I run the same area, but I still feel every day like there's almost like an adventure I'm going to get into. You don't know what you're going to get into, and you got to be on your toes. And, you know, I say this a lot, and I think it really applies to you. I think you'll appreciate this. I always tell people, a bored man is a dangerous man. And when it comes to truck driving, you're not bored. You're keeping your head on a swivel. You're trying to figure out where you're going. You made a wrong turn down a road you shouldn't have made. Now you got to figure out how to get out of it. Like, you're constantly, your job, your life is not boring. And it keeps you from getting involved and doing stupid things that maybe would be hurtful to you or people around you. And judging from where you came from, truck driving is going to keep you busy, brother. And it's going to keep your head on, head on right, knowing that you can't touch the stuff, because then you can't drive. And then on top of that, you're so distracted with being busy, being the driver and figuring everything out, mapping out your route and stuff. Like, I honestly believe that, you know, it sounds like you're really hitting the nail on the head when it comes to your chosen profession going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really agree. And I just a simple observation that just popped in my head was, You're absolutely right. There's a lot going on, and you need to be paying attention. And there's been moments where I've been like, wow, I didn't see that coming. And those are scary, but you learn from them. And that's something that also keeps me excited. It's like, you know, every day something else, you know, even if it's just a little thing, it gets thrown at me. It's like, wow, okay, I was not expecting that, but I handled it well, and I did, and I could do this, this, and this better to make, you know, my life better. But what I'm getting at is I think, you know, like you were saying with your quote, you know, a bored man, you know, is a dangerous, a bored driver is a dangerous driver. Dude, if you're bored out here, you need to get out, because there's so much happening, so much going on, you know, there's no way you should be getting bored. You know, even if you're on the most mundane, you know, middle and freaking nowhere. I'm in Texas right now. Middle of nowhere in Texas. You're just looking at forests and fields and, you know, cows. There's a crap ton load of stuff going on around you that you need to be paying attention.
All the time. All the time.
And
there's two.
And if you're not as a driver, those are the guys that get into these massive wrecks.
Yes.
Like, you know, I know everybody's seen it on the news, the I-35 wreck here in Fort Worth. Yeah. I got diverted around that wreck like maybe the next morning. So, you know, thankfully I didn't see anything. But I eventually found out about it. I'm like, wow, I literally went around that. you know, just, you know, just a few hours ago. It's like, holy crap. And, you know, I can almost guarantee, you know, a driver who was either too bored or too tired, wasn't paying attention and made a mistake. Now, whether that was a car driver, a truck driver, I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm sure the I'm sure whatever investigation they do, will find out. But
yep, exactly.
I really do believe that is that, you know, if you're out here and you're quote unquote bored, well, you either need to, you know, turn on some music or, you know, drink another cup of coffee, or you need to think about getting out of this.
Yeah. You know,
because you're not the type of person to be out here.
Yeah. There's two times that you may, you know, at some point think about getting out of it. And these are the two times, either when you find yourself bored all the time because you're not paying attention, then you shouldn't be. There's too much, like you said, there's too much going on. And the other time is when you think you've mastered this.
Yeah.
This is not a job that you're ever going to, that you're going to walk away and say, I've mastered that. There's nothing I can't, because you know what? That's when you're going to wind up in trouble. Because yeah, this is not the absolutely kind of job that you just master, because you know, every day is different. Every situation is different. Every weather condition is different. Every road is different. There's never, you should never think you've mastered this thing, because when you do, that's when this thing has mastered you. And you need to think about getting out of trucking. You know, that's when things happen, because that's when you become lazy. You think you've mastered this, and that's when you become lazy with it. And that's not a good thing. And that's what you want to be careful of. And I think that is any time that you are in charge of a vehicle, whether that's a car or a truck. I feel the same way when I get behind the wheel of my own personal car. I have not mastered this thing. I need to be careful. This is, you know, my car is 2,500 pounds. My truck is 80,000 pounds, and either one can kill somebody. And that's, you always need to keep that in the front of your mind. But it sounds like you've really got, you know, yourself, you've got your head on right, and you're moving forward in your life. And I think that's a fantastic thing. And, you know, it's from this point on for you, it's the open road is wherever you want it to go, you know, and that's a great thing. It's a great place to be.
Yeah,
it really is. And, you know, and a lot of people, I especially like friends, and they've all asked me, it's like, dude, it's like, you know, you sound so much happier. And I'm like, yes, I am.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm finally in that place. Like, I'm in that place where I wake up in the morning and, dude, it's not another day. It's today. It's now. It's, hey, let's get up and let's do this thing. Let's see what's happening. Let's enjoy it. And that's, you know, even through the crappy moments and the aggravation and whatever, I'm still like, I love this, you know. And I know some people will probably, you know, maybe some of the older tribes out there, like, you just haven't gotten your feet wet yet enough. I'm like, no, I've had some hard times already. You know, first week out on the road myself, and I've also had some, you know, serious challenges even before getting into the truck and even getting on the road. And, you know, and to paraphrase one of my therapists were like, you have the patience of a god for what you've dealt with and how and what you've been going through, and the fact that you're just nope, I'm just going to keep going because this is what I want to do.
That's awesome.
That'll kind of segue into the next part of this.
Cool.
But I mean, you know, why can I not remember your dad's name now, Tony? I feel embarrassed.
No, his name's right. Pops. He's old man.
Ryan, there we go.
There you go.
Oh my god.
Oh, don't worry about it.
I'm like, why? Why am I brain farting right now? But no, I mean, honestly, to hear that from, you know, I've said that the very things you were talking about, with in regards to trucking and truckers, I've said that to myself several times, many times throughout this whole process. And, you know, and it rings true. And especially to be hearing that from, you know, from an older trucker, and as a very, very new trucker, to be thinking that, I think that's a good sign for me.
Yes, definitely.
We'll kind of get back onto my story a little bit. And this comes where the patience of a god comes in. So I get my license. Quick segue on the license. The day I tested, It wasn't a planned test because I was waiting for monies to be available to pay the school. The day I test, unexpected, I pass. I'm super excited, you know, but it's a Sunday. So I go back home and I'm really excited and I'm thinking to myself, well, should I give the company I want to go with who gave me a job offer as long as I passed my license? Should I give them a call today? And I'm thinking, they'll probably be closed. 5 minutes after I said that to myself, my phone rings from the company. They offered me the job right there.
That's awesome. That is awesome. That's really cool.
I mean, I'm like, well, they're all the way over there. I'm all the way over here. How could they have possibly known that? And I know Connecticut doesn't communicate with nobody. So there's no way they found out about that way. So I'm like, wow. I'm like, yeah. So that was super surprising. But the fun starts when I get to orientation. So I get to orientation, very first day. You're doing a whole bunch of paperwork, slideshows, all that crap. Just the basic orientation stuff. They have us do our DOT physical. Now, mind you, I had my B license, so I already had a valid medical card. But it was from before everything that had happened. Okay? So they tell me, well, we got to redo this. Okay. I was half expecting in the back of my head something to go on, but nothing I could find was saying that I had to, that I had to do anything at this point. So I'm honest with them. I'm honest on the form. I don't lie about it. I list, everything that happened to me. Doctor talks to me and stuff like that. So he wants more information. So I get a form from him. All right. They want more information. Just send it off to your team, have them fill it out, get it back to us, and we'll clear you. Perfect. I do that. The place I'm getting, the place I'm working with, my therapy team, they have some sort of odd policy where they can't fill out these forms. Extremely month and a half long story, lots of aggravation, lots of anxiety, a little bit of depression, getting all this figured out. They couldn't fill out the form because of this policy, because they don't do, CDL, DOT examinations, and they're not truckers. So they don't understand the consequences behind if something happens and, a driver that they said is okay gets into a crash because of X, Y, or Z. So I understand that. But that held me up for a month and a half.
Wow.
My company allowed me to finish up orientation, like all the paperwork stuff, but I couldn't do my road test. So eventually I got sent home. So I think while I was home for that month and a half, I was waiting, but I was still home for a month and a half, not working, freaking out, thinking this was the end of my career because I couldn't find a way to get this freaking DOT physical filled out. And I was getting a lot of mixed bag, answers about what they really needed. And what ended up happening was I ended up having to get them fill out this form, say, well, we can't fill out X, Y, A, B, or C, but this is why, C medical record, and then shipping off a 250-page medical record to them.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that was fun. So I get a call a month and a half later from my company saying, all right, you're all set. The doctor's released your physical. You can come back. Let's get you, when you come back. I'm like, well, I can come today. I can come right now. Like, oh, wow. All right. Yeah, we'll get going on that. And they got me shipped back out there. And I got back out to the terminal, the closest terminal to my house. And I get there to finish up paperwork. And a guy there just kind of passingly tells me, well, there's an issue. What do you mean there's an issue? Well, there's an issue with your paperwork. Okay. You care to elaborate? And he goes, well, corporate apparently does some double checking before they you know, officially fill out and sign off on a DOT medical card, which I thought the doctor did that, but apparently the company puts a stamp on it.
Oh, wow.
And they said, well, you didn't list something. You got to talk to the doc. Like, I didn't list something. I listed everything that was there. I'm going to find out. I was prescribed two medications. One medication I was taking daily. The other medication was an as-needed medication for sleep. I forgot the sleep medication because I haven't taken it in months. I told the doctor this, thinking, all right, it's just a, you know, paperwork snafu. Nope, got to redo the whole thing. And then also to find out that my doctor needs to specifically list the medications that are prescribed to me, which she didn't do. Which from family, you know, from other professionals, she should have done that in the first place. Whatever. Just get it done. So now I'm sitting in a hotel room for a week doing nothing, waiting for this paperwork.
Wow.
So that's a month and three quarters now that I've been waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, you want to add the week on for orientation. Now it's 2 months. So it's 2 months since the day I left my other full-time job to come to this to now. I get a call. It's a Wednesday morning. We got everything in. I have your medical card in hand. Perfect. I don't want to give away the town because it'll probably give away my company. But I'm on the East Coast. Okay? There's a major, major blizzard coming in today, this afternoon. You guys will know exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
There. That's the most I'll give you. Major blizzard coming in. It's hitting this afternoon. We're not doing any road tests today. All right, whatever. That's fine. So we will definitely, we'll probably be closed Thursday. Wow, my voice snapped for every second. haven't hit puberty, apparently. We'll try to get you in the next day, which was Thursday, but that probably won't happen. So we'll get you in Friday. That's exactly what happened. Now, I do my road test. Everything goes fine. Here's the issue, though. This Friday is the Friday before Christmas. We're 7 days officially away from Christmas. Obviously, I know the writing on the wall. I'm probably going to be waiting to go on the road with a trainer after Christmas. That sucks.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that sucks is some people are like, oh, we'll just go home. I can't just go home because once I get put into, you know, ready for a leader status, I have to be available for that leader. Because if that leader shows up in the terminal the following day saying, hey, I'm here for so-and-so, well, he's home. Well, I'm out.
Yeah, you have to.
I'm not waiting a full day. I'm not losing a full day of work to wait for this guy. So that, and if I wasn't there, I wouldn't have been getting training pay, which at that point, if you guys can imagine, you know, I needed the money.
Sure. I mean, you left your job a month and a half ago or 2 months ago. You know, you need to work. You know, but I get that.
Yeah. I need to work. So everything gets situated. So I end up, unfortunately, waiting in the hotel. Now, that Friday, they tell me, all right, everything's all set. We have you on there. They'll be calling you very soon for a trainer. You know, someone should be, you know, it shouldn't be more than a day. Well, roll around day Wednesday. So this is the day before Christmas Eve. I finally get a message through our little app saying that you've been assigned a leader. Here's his information. Here's his number. If he hasn't called you already, give him a call. I give him a call. Voicemail, whatever. He calls me back like a couple hours later, like, who is this? I'm like, well, I'm so-and-so, I'm your trainee. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a kick in the nuts. It was a kick in the nuts a bit. And it's like, all right, I've been waiting for months now. I can't even say weeks. I've been waiting for months now for this. And I'm finally there. And it's like, nope. So I finally get on my trainer's truck and we get along well, get along really well. Thank God. And, but you know, and but well, here's the thing. Actually, I forgot this part was he was supposed to pick me up the Saturday, so the day after Christmas. Well, if you guys remember, again, the weather, it warmed up. Like, it went from 20 to 50 out of nowhere.
Right.
And all the snow melted. So all the rivers were super high, and this guy lives out in the middle of in the sticks, and everything was flooded around. He couldn't leave home. So I ended up waiting until Tuesday.
Wow.
After Christmas to finally get picked up. Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. You talk so about that it. Was almost, I was borderline 3 months from the time I started orientation till I actually got on a trainer's truck.
That is crazy. Holy cow.
Welcome to the industry, yeah. Brother. Welcome yeah. to the industry.
it can be rough getting, you know, when getting things yeah. going.
This really gives a whole new meaning to the hurry up and wait.
Yes, sir.
You know, yeah. Comment.
Unreal.
I thought the military was bad. Holy shit.
Yeah. 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 Get used to jumping through hoops and stuff with the medical card stuff and just, oh, you know, the whole process God. Of staying in operation when it comes to driving truck. They don't make it easy.
No, yep. they do not.
And also, I will advise you right now, keep up to date as to the new rules and regulations the government puts out for truckers, because it's like changing every year.
Yeah, they change all the time.
And you just got to make sure you stay up on things, because if you're out of line with any of your paperwork, then you're out of service, and you know who yeah. knows how long that takes. And God yeah. forbid you lose your CDL because you forget to do your medical card,
or yeah. even something as stupid as like your hazmat yeah. testing yep. and all that stuff. I just walked through the whole TSA thing and the DHS. You know.
Yep. I have both. I have hazmat yeah. and I have my TWIC card. So
that's good.
I got to yeah. keep up on all that stuff.
Yep.
I mean,
my company helps a lot. But.
Oh yeah. I mean, and that's good. I figured that they would. That, you know, they're usually pretty good with that. They know at least know what you need to do and help you keep up on it. So that's yeah. good.
The TWIC yep. card. I'm not interested in getting. they offer for us to get it if we want it, but I'm just nah. That just means I'm gonna yeah. be doing some stuff I don't feel like doing.
Yeah.
So.
yeah. One more thing.
Well, yeah. I you know, honestly, and that was one of the things that like a lot of was the big discussion in school was, oh, what are we gonna do with endorsements? What are we gonna do with endorsements? And of course the school was like, well, you know, these are the endorsements that you need to get rolling. Everything else is kind of extra. My thought process is, well, I'm here, it's $5 extra in one test. Just do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know, and then the $50 for the background check for the hazmat. And then I think whatever it was, I honestly think for everything, I spent like $300. And that's all the endorsements plus hazmat plus TWIC card, you know, and the license and everything. You know, why not?
Yeah.
It's an investment exactly. in my future. And, it, God forbid something happens or, you know, I'm in a place where the only place to go is here, and this is the only thing we got. Well, guess what? I can do it all.
You can do it. Yep.
Yeah.
It's always when I first start, that was the advice I was given to, was get every endorsement you can, take care of everything. Now you're getting your license. It's fresh. Do it all. Take all the tests. Do all the things you have to do. I mean, back then, you know, it was, yeah, this is almost 30 years ago. So, you know, yeah. take them all and do them all. And that's what we did. Yeah, you know, we just our whole class did it. You know, everything, we did it all. That was yeah. it just made the most sense, because that way you're ready to rock, no matter what comes down the road. Yeah. So that I think that was good advice.
Yeah, and I you know, honestly, when I came into it, I was already kind of in the mind to get all the endorsements anyways,
mm-hmm.
because it's just marketing myself. You know, even if, you know, my company doesn't specifically do that, you know, what if I run into something like 5 years down the road and I get an amazing job, but I got to have hazmat and a TWIC card?
Yep, exactly.
If I don't have those two things, I wouldn't have never been able to get that job. You know, but, you know, of course, people are like, well, you're going to waste the money on this, and then, you know, you're never going to use it. Well, dude, the second load I did on this company was hazmat. How did I not just use it? It just paid for itself.
Yes, exactly.
I got a 1,000-mile load off of hazmat. If I didn't have hazmat, I wouldn't have gotten that load.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what else would have been available to me, but again.
And that's just it.
Right there. That one load paid three times over for that hazmat license.
For one test. and mm-hmm. and the extra paperwork to do the TSA background yeah. check stuff. So
yeah.
it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. That's just the way
exactly,
it is.
Exactly, Brian. Exactly. So yeah, so that was my you know, patience of a god and my story into that. Well, so now we can get, I guess we've been listening to actual stories of the road.
Yeah.
You guys are interested. Well, unless you guys have something else you want to ask me.
Tell me about the scared fog driver.
Oh God. So we go up during training. We were going up and down I-80, in PA. And, I know you guys know the area.
Oh yeah.
So you know that especially around this time of year, the temperature is going to dip down low enough for fog. And when you get near the bridges, which are obviously near rivers, going over rivers, especially in Pennsylvania, there's going to be fog. Well, we ran into one of those fog banks and it was pretty dang thick. I'm not going to lie. It really was. I mean, we could only maybe see maybe about 100 to maybe like 150, 200 yards in front of the truck.
Right.
So we were taking it easy. Well, as I'm coming along, I see a truck. No hazards on, but I see his brake lights on. So I start slowing down. Think, well, he's just slowing down because we're about to hit the most dense part of this fog bank. And my trainer, him being, you know, more experienced than me, he's like, no, he's on his brakes. You need to be on his brake. You need to be on your brakes or you need to get over. And we were coming around a curve too, and a sharp one. If you're on 80, you know what I'm talking about. There's quite a few of them on. And sure enough, this guy was on his brakes hard, no hazards, and on this curb. And I ended up having to, you know, thankfully I didn't lock the brakes up, but I definitely got on the brakes pretty hard myself. So that scared the shit out of me. It really did, you know. And my trainer, thankfully, he berated me a little bit. He's like, listen, you need to pay attention. When you see brake lights and shit like this, you need to be on your brakes too. Okay, expecting that guy, for whatever reason, came to a halt.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, he's absolutely in the wrong for not having his hazards on, but you need to be prepared for that. You need to take the action. Not expect others to take the action for you. You need to take the action. And that was a big eye-opener. But then literally, like, 30 seconds or so later after passing him, there's a car coming the opposite way with his freaking high beams on. In fog.
Yeah.
Some of the densest fog the densest fog I had seen at that point in the truck. I'm like, how are you seeing?
Exactly.
You're not seeing.
Nope. It's like your light shining off a wall all the time.
Yeah.
Right back at you. I don't understand that either.
And I'm just looking at him like, I'm getting blinded, and I can tell this guy can't see a damn thing. And it's like, dude, just shut off your freaking high beams.
Yep.
People, that's all you got to do.
For some reason, I don't know how people don't realize that, but you see that a lot. Yes, you do. They put their high beams on thinking it's going to penetrate the fog. There's nothing going to penetrate that fog.
Right.
It's just not going to happen.
It's going to bounce right back, and you're just going to be running through milk.
Yep.
That's all you're doing.
Blinding yourself. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was pretty scary because it really did, you know, not only dealing with the trucker that was scared out of his mind doing freaking 20 miles an hour in a 70 mile an hour zone with no hazards on a curve. And then having to deal with this car and, you know, and being blinded by it. And, you know, I never realized just how blinding, you know, high beams can be until that moment. It's like, holy crap, I can't see a damn thing thanks to this car.
Yeah, it is amazing. And, you know, that makes you more cognizant then, too, of your own headlights. When you're in a truck, you're sitting up high above and your headlights are right at, you know, like people's rearview mirrors and stuff like that. And you realize just how much of a pain in the butt it can be, you know, because you realize, hey, you know what? My lights are shining right in their window.
Yeah.
So, you do become a little more cognizant. And so you try and maintain. I don't use my high beams very often unless there's nothing around me and there's nobody coming at me, you know, when I'm in my big truck. I just don't, because it's like you can't, you know, you realize you're blinding everybody.
Yeah. Yep. In my truck, I noticed that when I put the high beams on, my fog lights go off and I don't see as much. So I just I don't even use my high beams because it's pointless. But
yeah,
I mean, so I totally get what you're saying. And you've come across some insane four wheelers. I'm assuming you mean cars and not actually, you know, quads or anything.
Yeah, cars. Yes, cars. Which I mean, especially going through northwestern PA, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm just kind of surprised I didn't see any four wheelers or snowmobiles. Right. Yeah. But
I know what you mean there.
Just insane drivers. You know, I mean, I've had people, and I don't know what they're thinking, but I can't tell you how many times, especially in New Jersey, where they get in front of you and they just slam on their brakes. It's like, you know, and thankfully I'm paying attention and my, you know, and I already kind of had this in my mind, but my trainer really beat it into me too. It's like, you got to think about the worst possible thing this person could do right now. And that saved me a lot of times, especially when dealing with that, is just anticipating the absolute stupidity of people.
And that's hard to do, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to figure out what,
really,
you know,
it really is.
It is. You're trying to think for somebody else. What might they do? They might do anything, you know? And so that the distance, always keeping that distance between you and the person in front of you, no matter what they do.
It's funny that the way he said that too, because he hasn't been driving long and he said it saved him a ton of times. That kind of gives people that are listening to the show that maybe don't drive for a living the perspective, that a more clear perspective as to how much goes on. Like, this is not a job that there's a reason why we started this show. And it's not because we knew we could possibly short on content. Like, this is a job where it happens all the time.
Always.
And I mean, Zach hasn't been driving that long and he's been dealing with crazy experiences because that's just what happens out in the road, and it's worse in some areas than others. You know, you head to some big cities and stuff, and you're dealing with different nature of the beast, but it's still dealing with crazy drivers. And then when you enter that state line in New Jersey, well, just good luck. It's the whole state.
So all you're on your own.
Just kidding, Jersey. We love you mostly.
No. I'm gonna put Jersey on blast. No, absolutely not. I've only been driving for a week, and I can tell you right now, out of all the states I've been in, I drove through New York City four times already. New Jersey is absolutely the worst.
You've driven through New York City.
You see a Jersey plate, watch out.
You've driven through New York City four times now in a week?
Yep.
Man, that's more than I've done in my career.
God bless you.
Yeah. Wow.
Yep. Right over the George Washington Bridge, too. That was fun. Big sarcastic emphasis on fun.
I get you there. Yes.
Yeah. Envy does not run through my veins for you, my friend.
No, it does
not. Oh, man.
So, Zach, tell me about, because I want to, if it's okay with you, I'd like to bring you on again to go over the Dunbar story, because that's a whole other world in itself. I want you to share with us here this, because I find just the phrase in itself interesting. The wiggle wagon from hell. To wrap us up with this story, man.
Sure. All right. Again, on I-80. Actually, no, this was I-70. Oh, crap. Brian, let me know. It's either I-76 or I-74. It's the more southern route that you can get over the western mountains from I-80. I want to say it's 74.
79?
It's a toll road.
Okay. Well, 76 runs across the whole lower. That's the turnpike that's the PA turnpike, 76.
Yes. Yep. So it's 76.
Okay.
I know for a fact it's the PA turnpike.
Yeah,
and we would use the turnpike in bad weather when I-80 was expecting bad weather.
Yep,
we would go to the turnpike because the turnpike is actually going to be plowed and salted.
Exactly.
The rest of PA, it's just like, oh, Mother Nature put it there.
Yeah. It's anybody's guess what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But at least the turnpike, they keep it clean.
Speaking of boring, in those situations, you can either take 80, which is the north side, which is the exciting route, or you can take the boring route, which is 76 on the south side.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
But anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, 76 wasn't boring this time. So, a little perspective on this particular night on 76, it was definitely better weather. It wasn't the greatest, but I dealt with a lot of and I'm gonna put these guys on blast. The Amazon Prime drivers. What is with these drivers?
Say for finally, finally, somebody has brought up the Amazon drivers on the show. Finally, brother, I'm telling you. Listen, I'm gonna let you continue here, but I gotta tell you, man, those guys driving those vans. They are new drivers. You can tell, one, because they don't get paid much, so they're getting paid for a driver, I should say. But around here in the Philadelphia area, Amazon has been opening up tons of driving depots where they're sending their vans out. We have tons of them around here, and they come out in like lines, like there are an army of these Amazon vans in the morning, and you see these guys do some bananas things. And I don't even need to look into the facts of the matter. When I see so many of those drivers doing bananas things, when I know that their depot is new, it means that they're hiring guys with no driving experience because it's just a van. And I'm telling you, it is an adventure driving around those guys. You got to have your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
And if you're an Amazon driver right now listening to this, I love you. Come on the show. We'll chop it up. But my Lord, most of the drivers on Amazon, I have not had great experiences with. Yeah.
So I haven't had any bad experiences yet. Keyword, very big keyword yet with the van drivers. I'm talking about the actual tractor trailer.
Oh, okay.
The big truck. The big truck that says the big Amazon smile on the side. Yeah. The big blue.
Oh, my God.
The
big blue trailer. Yeah. Big smile. Yeah. Big smile. Dude, these guys are insane, man.
Yes, they are. I see them.
No regard to speed limit or, you know, or to what other drivers are doing.
Or weather conditions or.
Yeah.
Yeah. Conditions. Oh my God. Yeah. Conditions.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't an Amazon driver that was the problem. So, and I know there's probably non-truckers that drive. So Wiggle Wagons is, our B trains for us, or doubles.
Set of doubles.
Yeah. Yes. So this particular night, after dealing with, you know, a dozen or so of these insane Amazon Prime drivers and, you know, a sprinkling of FedEx too.
Right.
There was this guy. He, I want to say, it could have been FedEx. It might have been, what's the other one that's out, that's big out there?
Expo.
Not RNL. Expo. Yep. XPO.
Yeah. XPO.
I'm actually, you know what? It is. It was an XPO driver.
Yeah. It used to be Conway.
So he's driving. Yeah. He's driving. He's got the Wiggle Wagon. And this guy, I mean, I don't know if he's got a complete empty at the back, but this rear trailer is just, it's all over the place. It's swaying and swinging and wiggling. And I'm like, oh, that's why they call them Wiggle Wagons.
Yep.
But the problem is that, you know, normally you'll see that happen a little bit. You know, the B drive, you know, the double drivers, they're usually pretty good, especially about keeping the rear trailer, you know, as stable as they can. This guy was, he was almost as all over the road as his rear trailer was, and it was making it worse. And, you know, at this point I had been driving for a few weeks. So my trainer was actually just in the bunk and he heard me. He goes, "What the hell is this Wiggle Wagon doing?" He looks up and he goes, "Oh boy." He goes, "You got two options. You either just stay behind him and give space, or you get past him. Choose." So I decided to try and get past him. Five attempts later.
Wow.
Because his rear trailer was doing so much crazy crap because he wasn't correcting what his rear trailer was doing. I couldn't get past him. And finally, eventually, we hit. I was obviously lighter than he was. We finally hit one of the bigger hills, and I was able to finally blast past him. But my trainer's truck had a CB in it, and we were listening to the CB, and we were hearing drivers after I passed him talk about this guy for at least a couple hours after we had passed him. And they're just like, "Watch out for this Wiggle. He's all over." Or, "Oh, this Wiggle's about to go."
It drives
just
crazy.
The entire way, the entire time we were on that road.
It is. It's nuts. It's nuts. And out in the Western states, they do triples. And yep. I have my triple and double endorsements, and I would, you know, I look at that and I'm like, I cannot imagine, you know, pulling triples like that. I just cannot.
No.
And because that's the stuff. I mean, you know, you look in your mirrors and every time you move that steering wheel, you're causing that back trailer to sway a little bit, you know, and it's just because it's human nature. Your hands kind of move where your eyes go. And that's why those guys, that's why you really have, it's something you really have to learn. You know, you really do. You've got to learn not to move your steering wheel.
Not to do that.
Yep. It's hard. It's hard to do. But I can appreciate what you're talking about. I've seen that many times. And that's the thought that runs through your head.
Yeah.
I've got two choices. Either I can get past this guy or I can try or stay here behind him. And you're frustrated because you're watching this guy and you just want to go. You know, because in my head, my thought is I do not want to be behind this guy when he rolls this thing over, because now my night is screwed and I'm going to be sitting here for a while. Yeah. So, that's, you know, and it's hard. It's a very it's a great job, but it's stressful to do what we do, you know, because of that kind of stuff. And, you know, the constantly trying to anticipate. I mean, I've talked about the accident that I had about 5 years ago where somebody turned left in front of me from the right hand lane to use the center median to turn around. And I was in the passing lane, and this guy just instead of going 520 more feet to the exit and exiting off and going across the bridge, he just turned left to use where the cops sit, you know, the median there.
The break in the guardrails.
I T-boned.
Yeah, that's you know? Super scary.
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, it made me nervous since then for the past 5 years. I mean, when the weather, you know, starts to get crazy like this, or I start getting into traffic, because it's so hard to anticipate what people are going to do.
Yeah, when you see it firsthand, the idea that you're looking out for everybody on the road, you're looking out for yourself, and it still wasn't enough. You saw something that somebody did something that you just did not think was going to happen. You couldn't project it was going
to
happen.
There's no way
it
to anticipate.
It was so absurd that it happened.
Yeah.
I can imagine it leaves you on edge. And that edge, though, is a good thing to keep you on. I mean, like, not to say that you got comfortable, but like, you don't want to get too comfortable behind that wheel. Like you were talking about earlier, Zachary, the mentality and the idea of super trucker. I don't know if you've heard that phrase yet, but
many times.
Yeah, there are guys who just, you know, it's like, I'm a super trucker. I got it all. I've seen it all. I know it all.
Yeah.
And that's maybe they did. Maybe they've seen it all. Maybe they know it all. But that's a scary spot to be in mentally for the long term, because at some point you might be letting your guard down a little too much, thinking that you've seen it all. You know it all. And that's when, you know, tragedies happen. Listen, Zach, man, I appreciate you sharing the stories. You were incredibly encouraging for me, at least personally. I don't know about my old man here, but
most definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, though. You sharing how you got into trucking and just sharing about how you found the show and everything, that was very encouraging for me to hear. And hearing the process of you getting into trucking, man, it's exciting to hear. It's exciting to hear that, you know, the show, you know, had played a little bit of a role in encouraging somebody to do something like that. Yeah. And we've gotten some emails from other guys that say similar things. And dude, I appreciate you being on the show and sharing some of these stories. And we definitely are going to, once we end the recording here, schedule you for another time to come on and talk about the Dunbar stories. My Uncle Pally, we had him on the show once, and he worked for Dunbar, so I'm excited to hear your stories.
Actually hearing that episode actually brought back a lot of those memories.
I'm sure
I kind of repressed them a little bit.
I'll tell you what I think he tried to repress them too, because I he's telling some of the stories. I'm like, I know you got juicier stories than that, brother. I know you got juicier stories than that. Maybe we should talk to him and see if he wants to come down and sit in on that one.
That would be cool.
Have him in studio for that one.
Yeah, that would be really neat.
We'll talk
about that. That'd be cool. That'd be really cool.
That would be. We'll talk, in contact with him.
See if he wants to come down.
Yeah. I'm sure he will.
All right.
Perfect.
Zach, thanks for being on the show, brother.
Yeah. Thank you guys too. And you guys have a great night. I'm glad I was able to encourage you a bunch.
Oh yeah. You know what? It was, it's good for people to hear what it's like to walk through some of this stuff and walk through the beginning stages of it, and to hear somebody who's really new to the industry and get a perspective. So this is what it's like, you know. We're not just BSing people when we talk about these things. You know, this is real life. But it was cool having you on. Thank you for taking the time and talking with us.
Yeah, no problem at all, guys.
Yeah, full tanks, full DEF, man. Let's put this sucker in gear and go.
Well, Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. Dad, if they enjoyed it, what can they do?
They can share it. They can share the show on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. They can share it with their friends and family. Share the show. If you enjoy it, share the show. And if you enjoy the show, go to hammerlanelegends.com/gear and get yourself some gear. Get a shirt, get a t-shirt, get a hoodie, get a mug. Get something.
Get something that represents the show. We're so bad at promoting the apparel and the swag and stuff. But yeah, we do have a gear section on the website where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, all that cool stuff with the logo on it. And it's a cool looking logo, I think. And yeah. It gets people saying, hey, what's a Hammer Lane Legend?
Exactly.
And you say, listen, you got an Apple iPhone? Yeah, look up Hammer Lane Legends on your app and you'll be good to go.
You got that right.
And make sure you hit subscribe and leave a 5-star rating review. All right, bye-bye.
Just sitting on your front porch, wondering how could I be so far from my home. And my mind is somewhere else, but when I find it, I'll patch up where it's been blown. Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine.